Hello everyone. My name is Nikolai Kondrashov. I'm a software engineer at Red Hat. I'm going to be talking about this project that we have of implementing user session recording in a way that is suitable for using the enterprise, such as banks or hospitals or just commercial organizations. I work at the common login team, which has started not so long ago, and they're focusing on getting the logs together from across all the Red Hat products and putting them in one place that is usable. I work mostly on this project, user session recording project, and I maintain free Redis packages as well. In my free time, I maintain the Digiment project, which is about supporting graphics tablets on Linux. And also, I play with Embedded, well, in what's left of my time. So has anybody ever used anything like user session recording before? Oh, wow. OK, has anybody set it up? Cool. Has anybody been recorded? Okay. Has anybody ever wished that he has recorded user sessions? Oh, nice. Okay, great. Let's see. So the premise is basic. Some companies need to comply with government regulations. Some need to just track contractors or some visitors on their systems, and they need to know what happened to their servers if something goes wrong and who did it. So in ideal world, people want to record everything that users do. Some companies even put cameras behind people to see what they do, and they want to store that somewhere else, somewhere safe. And they want to access that, search that, analyze, and correlate. And they want to play everything back exactly like it happened when they trying to figure out what happened. There's plenty of commercial offerings, and there are pretty good ones too. And they go from dedicated hardware which you could put on your network and plug one cable and another cable in it, and then it will intercept everything provided they have the keys. Then there are just software that you can install on your own hardware, and there are things which are simpler, like jump hosts, where you log in and then you log into your target system, and the intermediate system records everything. And then there are just programs which are running on the exactly on the target host, which is being recorded. And many of them integrate with identity management, with access control, where you can, for example, watch the session and interrupt it when you see that something is going wrong. And again, most of them have some sort of central storage and searching and playback, of course. But those are all commercial offerings, so they are expensive, sometimes very expensive, with some really difficult licensing, like per server or even per host, per client host. And then it's commercial software, it's usually closed source, and you can't fix it, and you can't see how it works, and you can't improve it. So the customers were asking us for something that would come from Red Hat or from open source, just something that they could get for free, and they could take a look inside and figure out how it works and fix it, or maybe improve it. And they also want support, especially the bigger organizations. So what we have so far in open source, it's not that much. It's just script, which is the classic. But you have to work a lot if you want to have something central or secure with it. Then there is sudo.io login. It is security oriented. It has searching. It has playback, but it's not centralized, and you can't stream it. It just writes the recording on the local host. And the closest thing that there is the TTY audit in the kernel, in the audit subsystem, which is also supported by auditd, but it is security oriented and it can be centralized as any logs could be, but it's only for input. It doesn't record the output, and from what I heard from the developers, with the current architecture, it won't perform very well if we try to use it for output. So what we are going to do? So the basic requirements: record what's happening, what you can see, what the user enters, what the user executes, accesses, get it off the machine that where it is recorded as soon as possible, and store it centrally and securely. Then you would need to correlate this with other events on the system, because that's the only way to really figure out what's happening, because just the recording of the screen is not enough. And you will need, of course, to play it back to see what the user saw, and you need to control all of that centrally. So we had an idea to just shove it with the logs, because we already have the audit events in the logs. We have login servers which know very well how to deliver, and they have this whole infrastructure ready. And there is a whole bunch of systems which allow you to correlate those logs, search them, and analyze and graph and everything. And that allows us to really save on the maintenance and on the setup costs, because we just set up logging and we have all the delivery infrastructure and storage and analytics there. And it's not just like just video recording, it's closely related to those logs, and you can correlate them easily. So we wanted to decide on something to use for that central storage and searching solution. And so far it seems it's going to be Elasticsearch and Kibana. It's pretty hip, pretty popular, and our common login team is working on bringing that to our products at Red Hat, and it's already in OpenShift, and it's going to OpenStack, and we are building basically a pre-cooked log forwarding solution where you basically say install, and it all goes to one place, and it's all parsed into structures, into JSON in Elasticsearch, and you can search it and in a more or less structural way as far as the logs can go. So it's a sort of a turnkey solution which is being worked on by the other part of my team. So we have the central storage. Now we need to figure out how to control the rest and how to log everything and how to make sense, especially of audit logs, because they are not very well structured. They're not ready to be ingested by Elasticsearch. We need to deliver that, we need to choose something for delivery, and we need to play everything back. So we also have a big team working on free API and SSSD at Red Hat, which is basically our analog of Active Directory. And well, it's an open source project, it's just that we work on it a lot. And among other things, it allows you to join Windows domains, to control domains, make your own domains, have trust relations between domains, and cache credentials on the laptops, for example, where you can log in and then disconnect from the network and still be able to log in. And we have the that's outdated. We have this session. Yeah, not outdated. We are designing this session recording control right now. We have some solution on the SSSD part already. So for actually logging the user terminal, the input and output, we made a tool called T-Log. And we considered doing it in the kernel, but again, that would have been pretty long process, and the audit system wasn't ready for that anyway. So we made a user space program that is started in place of user login shell, sits between the user shell and the terminal and records everything that passes between. It converts it to JSON and then logs to syslog or journal, and it also has a tool that allows you to play it back on a terminal. Pretty basic. So to deal with audit logs, to get them to Elasticsearch, we made a tool called O-Shape, and we worked together with the audit team, and we're still working. we made that tool to convert the audit logs to JSON, which would be suitable for Elasticsearch, and to XML for other tools, because we have customers who prefer XML. We build in the schemas, which you can use to validate the output, so it's more or less strictly defined as far as we have gone so far, at least. It just logs to syslog, and that's it for now. So for delivery to Elasticsearch, we already have rsyslog, which supports that in Red Hat. And you can, of course, install Fluentd or Logstash, or if you're going the OpenShift or OpenStack route, you can use our IAQ solution. So for the actual playback for the auditors and administrators, we are building a web UI, which will be connecting to Elasticsearch playback from there. You should be able to see input, output, and comments, and files accessed, and search all those. And we are planning to build it as a reusable component, which you can perhaps build into your web UI. And we already started making it, and we are starting with Cockpit. Cockpit is a web UI for managing your servers, like particular servers. And not only just a specific server which is running on that, where the Cockpit is running, but also others, but mostly it is just this server. We started with that because it is simpler and easier, as you will see. Okay, so this is the basic shape of things. We get the terminal I/O through T-log and the other events through auditd, convert them with O-shape, push them to any combinations of login servers, then to Elasticsearch, and then you can use Web UI or Kibana or something else which can be used with Elasticsearch to view them. Okay, so I'm going to show you a little demo. I log in into a system which has recording enabled for a particular user. And we will start the playback at the same time and see how well it goes. And then we'll take a look, quick look at the logs in Journal and in Elasticsearch. And I'm going to also show you how this the proof of concept Web UI works in Cockpit. Okay. Okay, I forgot this. Sorry, just a moment. I guess it worked. Okay. I wonder if it's the same session. Yeah, it's the same session. There is a delay between the playback and the recording because I started it much later, so it's going to take a while to catch up. We are working on that right now. The most difficult part is jumping to arbitrary time because you will have to basically build keyframes like in video because the state of the terminal depends on what has happened all the way before. Yeah, that's going to be one of the first controls that we are doing. I'm just writing code for that right now. It's quite easy to speed it up, to play and to put a pause on it, but not random, not yet. We have several ideas about that, and we can talk about that if somebody is interested. Okay, so this is the... Just a moment. This is the logs that came from this recording. This is the O-shape logs, which are converted to JSON already. And you can see the previous audit records here, which probably resulted in the following O-shape lines. There is the T-log stuff here. These are the recordings of user input and output. You can see some control characters here. And this is how it looks in Kibana. So let's see, that was session 4. So here, for example, I look up the audit events with session 4, which we just executed, and the T-log events with session 4, and I'm looking for the Vim in them. So this is from T-log. So you can see the Vim command here. This is me trying to look for that Vim command. And more on Vim command from audit. For example, if we search for execve, we can see all the commands that were executed. This is mixed up with some older sessions, but anyway, you can see the commands right in Elasticsearch and Kibana, and search them and correlate. Now let's take a look at cockpit. So we can already see our session here in cockpit because it was also logged to journal. I can come in here and see it. It's going to take long because I took long pauses, but I'm going to make a new one. So as soon as I start and get some output going, this session should appear on the right in cockpit. There it is. I can come in and see what's going on. T-log locks the window sizes, and we made the you can resize the player here, but so at this moment we are not replaying the window resizes. We're just working on that along with the playback. So you can make it bigger, but we just need to pass that information from playback. Okay. So. If you would set up T-log with just T-log and on a typical Linux system without any control from anything else, it would work about this way. So, for example, take login session on a console. So, user authenticates to login via PAM as usually, and it's the job of NSS to tell login.tlog is the shell. You can do that by basically putting the shell into etc passwd. Then login starts tlog because it's the shell, and tlog gets the actual shell to start from its configuration or environment. Tlog starts it under pty and then passes everything between the pty and the actual terminal, and logs the whatever it passes as to syslog or journal. If you want to control with SSD, which was actually merged not long ago, it hasn't made it into any releases yet, but it's in master and it works. You can configure SSD to tell it in configuration that session recording is enabled, and these users and these groups should be recorded. Then when a user logs in, SSD serves the POM requests and NSS requests, and for an NSS request, it returns the shell bin tlog, substitutes it, and when the session is set up using PAM, SSD adds an environment variable saying which shell to start. So when tlog starts, it picks up that environment variable and starts the shell. So that way you can have shells and users specified somewhere in LDAP directory or in an active directory or in free APA, and don't care about the shells and turn on the session recording somewhere on the host, and the user will still get the right shell. And for free APA, we have the plan to use systems similar to SELinux mappings where you assign configuration to HBAC rules. And in this case, it's going to be configuration for tlog. Then the SSD on the client machine fetches both the configurations and HBAC rules, matches them, sees if it's the right host, if it's the right user, and then basically proceeds to apply the configuration and passes it to tlog via environment again. So, yes, tlog records input, output, and window resizes. You can configure the notice if you'd like, and you can write to a journal or to syslog or to a file for testing, for example. And you can also configure, decide, like, do you want more interactive, more real-time recording, or do you want to save on the extra overhead of all the headers and meta information? And yes, there's tlog has a tool that can play back from Elasticsearch, as we just saw, or from journal, as we just saw in cockpit, or from file if you want to test it. So this is how the tlog messages are structured. They are basically chopping the stream into messages because it's login. We have to have messages. We store input and output separately in separate fields because we want them to remain searchable. They are coming in time at the same time. And if you just store them in the same field, they will be interspersed and you won't be able to search it. We preserve everything, even if it's binary. And if there is an invalid UTF-8, which cannot be encoded in JSON, then we just put it in an array of bytes. So we can extract everything. If somebody just dumped an archive on their screen, you can extract that. We also store timing with millisecond precision separate in a separate field and window resizes. OShape functions quite simply. Kernel supplies the audit messages to auditd through netlink, and auditd then has a special daemon for plugins, like a dispatcher daemon. You can have multiple plugins. One of them could be OShape, which would then encode it in JSON and just log it to syslog. And then you can use whatever login server to push it to Elasticsearch. So we are trying to keep the audit event structure. I mean, all the same names, all the same hierarchy, but we have to encode it into something more strictly defined than just plain text. we have both the XML and JSON schemas similar. They're just the encoding. They're basically having the same structure. And here's, for example, a user executing PS command. This is very heavily trimmed, but basically that's how it could look. And one event can be logged by auditd as a series of log messages. They can span several, like they could be plenty of detail about the event, but we record everything in a single object so that you don't have to merge them somewhere where you're searching for them. So at the moment, cockpit UI is very basic and we are resorted to a trick to get it off quickly. Tlog rec records special synthetic recording ID, which is unique on the host, and records it as a journal field, so that then Cockpit could request by the all the TLOG messages and then just aggregate them by recording ID and provide the this list here, this one. And then to play the recording, we basically run TLOG play on host. It's a the playback tool, and Cockpit runs it under PTY and then forwards everything it sees to the JavaScript-based terminal that you saw on the screen here. And that's going to be probably the first release. And then we will have to do the most difficult part of making the playback in the JavaScript and browser. So it will probably be some of the terminal emulators that are available, probably Xterm.js or something. And we're going to modify that to provide the timing and the playback controls and decoding and everything. So there is the feature request that we often hear where people ask for, can we just please avoid recording passwords? I'm not aware of a way to do that purely from user space, which we're doing. The audit subsystem has the TTY audit system detecting when there is the echo off mode in the kernel, and then not logging anything, but we can do that from user space as far as I know. So the plan is either just turn off recording input, because we are also record audit. It doesn't matter that much that we don't record input because we get all the underlying events. Or there is an option which we will implement. Maybe we just can turn off the input recording in TLOG and enable audit, TTY audit in audit, and then we can just play that back and pick it up from the audit. We're thinking about not recording graphical sessions because we cannot separate easily the multiple terminals that can be started there. So we just don't record that, but we don't know how to detect that well. We are going to do that. And in general, I think that the best idea is to record the whole graphical session screen if you need to record a graphical session. There's the char set conversion because some people still don't use UTF-8. Weird, right? We'll need to convert that somehow, but of course there's going to be mismatches between encodings and it might produce garbage. So we will need to keep the original anyway in binary form and provide the converted text just for searching purposes, so it could search for that. So, and when, if you find something, you can reconvert the binary data to recover what was there, if necessary. And of course, the playback controls, which I talked about already. So OShape, the main challenge with OShape is that audit log is a mess. It's basically built in the kernel. Kernel basically formats little strings, which then puts together basically like printfs, which is supposed to be logs. And there are periodically some content issues between user space and the kernel, where user space suddenly finds out that the kernel has changed some format and they can no longer parse it. And the kernel doesn't consider that binary API. They just say like, well, we are within the API, it's netlink, so whatever, deal with it. And well, in general, audit developers do a good job in dealing with it, but still, probably nobody knows all the possible logs that the kernel can produce. There is a plan to eventually switch to some new binary protocol for audit logging, but it's even from the most enthusiastic people, it's just not going to happen very soon. So, so we are going to do with what we have, and the audit developers, they keep the dictionary of all the records and type and fields that they know can happen, but we need more information than that. We need to know the types and everything, so we're going to work with them to improve that catalog so we can make a more strict schema, therefore making it more useful, because you can know exactly what will happen. And again, there is the needs to be character encoding conversion, because some file names can be in weird encodings, etc. And we'll have to somehow deal with mistranslations and the garbage, and encode that in JSON. Okay, and for Web UI, so we are using journal as a storage right now. Basically, they're just a session recording, is just a series of journal messages. And we need to search that, and we need to correlate, and we need to list the sessions. And so far, with just a few sessions, even though they could be long ones, it is working, but it might become very, very slow. So regarding that, our team is going to Cockpit Hackfest, which is going to happen in October in Berlin, in the Red Hat offices. If you'd like to come, suddenly somebody wants to come there, you need to write to the mail list and ask. And right after that, in Berlin, there's going to be All Systems Go conference. And I'm going to go there and maybe talk about this journal theme, if it makes sense or not, or we should switch to something else. Again, the playback control. So while we have the playback done on the host and forwarded to the terminal, it is easier to start, but it is harder to continue with implementing the playback control, like the random positioning, for example, because we don't have the access to the terminal emulator that easily there. To correlate with audit logs so that you could see what was happening behind the scenes, like you would see the screen and the audit events happening as the session goes. We need to somehow communicate the current playback position, and that might be interesting. Okay, so if you'd like to try it, an older version of T-Log is in Fedora repos. And you can always, of course, build it from source. The journal support in particular wasn't released yet. It's just in master. I'm going to release it soon, I expect. So the basic thing to try is just install T-Log as it is, like maybe from RPM and the log to file, and see how it looks and try to play back. There are also instructions in README about setting up with Elasticsearch, so everything from setting up the user and setting up your RSys log and how to forward it. And we would be glad to hear any issue reports or, of course, pull requests. There are actually people asking for rate control, where they want to avoid generating a ton of logs when a person just dumps DevView random or something on the screen. So there is a pull request from a student at some government organization trying to implement that. And I think we're going to do it in autumn, this autumn. Then OShape is even easier. You just, you have to build it. There's actually been a release. It's relatively fresh. So you can just get a RPM and feed it your own audit log. It won't upload it anywhere, but it will convert it to JSON or XML as you want, as you will ask, and you can see what's the structure and how it looks and if it's of use to you. And again, there are instructions for forwarding to Elasticsearch and README. Okay, and this is the most difficult part. If somebody is really, really determined, they can get our proof of concept branch and read the upstream instructions on building and running Cockpit from source. They can then install T-Log, configure it to write a journal, create a user to be recorded, log in with that user, and the stuff should magically appear on the Cockpit UI in the session as you just saw there. But that magic might require some work. Okay, I'm early. Thank you. Anybody curious about anything? Sure.
Thanks for your talk. Are there any plans to implement Elasticsearch support in the web interface or at least the backing JavaScript library? So we do not have to read from journal?
In cockpit.
Or, well, I think you said something about releasing a separate JavaScript library for the web interface, maybe?
Yeah, there's going to be some component which you can use, and the playback from journal is just for local recording, just to get started, and eventually we will have perhaps even in cockpit support for Elasticsearch, although I'm not sure if that makes sense, because cockpit is mostly for managing this one server, and you would log to some other server, and then to play back session recorded on this server, you have to log into that server to get the sessions from there. But we are going to do that anyway. We'll need to play back from Elasticsearch. And you can use tlog play to play back from Elasticsearch right now. It's just that there is no web UI for that.
Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about more like a central solution for reading or displaying the recorded sessions for multiple servers and maybe not integrated into cockpit, building your own stuff.
Yeah, we are planning for that. We just not at the moment haven't selected one place we're going to put this. So it might be cloud forms or free API web UI or something like that. And to decide that, we're just working it around to make it embeddable. So it's easier.
Thanks.
So absolutely, that's our present target. We are trying to work hard towards it. We got the new hire who is working the web UI, and it's going to be better.
I have a couple of questions. First, is correctly that the same message is sent twice, one from Audity, one from Audacity, and one from your daemon?
You don't have to send them anywhere.
Yeah, but it's automatically added to your
journal. What you saw is that journal D picks up its own audit messages from the kernel. You can turn that off, I think, in journal D configuration, and just set up audit D, which can then be set up to discard its own messages and just put it to the plugin.
So yeah, but you have to do that manually. That's what I wanted to ask.
Yeah, so, but we are going to implement maybe like an Ansible playbook or something for setting it up.
The problem with Elasticsearch is always when you have access to Elasticsearch, you can search for everything. So you see everything. Is there any possibilities that we can say not everybody is allowed to see everybody else's recordings?
That's what the that ViaQ project is working on in our other part. So they are doing access control based on indexes for various tenants in OpenShift cluster. So they have separate access, and you can control that thing.
The other question is very easy to bypass simply by using chain shell and give me the bash again.
I'm sorry, could you repeat?
When you use chain shell, the command line, and specifying, hey, I want to use bash, then you disable the logging? Is it that easy?
Well, if you're root, then everything is easy.
Yeah, but no, chain shell is everybody can do that. Everybody can specify his own login shell.
Can they?
Yes. Let's say normally when you don't disable. And the last question is, does any regulatory body accepted that, or is have you talked with any regulatory body if that is something that can, for example, for a government or banking application, that is that acceptable?
Well, we have several banks like talking and asking for this and making requests, and the Australian security services are interested in the audit part. So there is some interest. That's, and regarding the shell, it's you can't always do that, change the shell. You can have the users in free API, you can have policies on that. So
yeah, okay, thanks.
Yeah, my question is there any way to make it stealth for the user that is being recorded?
Stealth?
Yeah, I mean, not him to be aware of it. Because if I'm aware that I'm being recorded, so I behave. If I'm aware that I'm not being recorded, so I'll do whatever I want to.
Well, if the users behave, that's already good. But then you will actually, if the user is clueless, you can just disable the notice, and they might not know, but if they look at the process table, they will see that. And another part which you can do, you can set up a jump host, a transparent jump host where user logs into one system, like a duplicate, a shadow system, where it automatically logs him in into another system, and the recording is happening on that jump host transparently, and they won't see that.
Okay, thanks.
Anyone else? All right, thank you very much. Thank you for coming and for the questions.